the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Welcome to the program. It is Bucket Strategy Investing, back again with more, giving you the money information that you need to help you get through retirement. That's our goal. That's what we try to do every day on this program. I'm Johnny Dean. Once again today, I've got our professor, Rick Plum, standing by, ready to take your phone calls, ready to take your emails and talk strategy with you. And that's what we're going to get a lot of this hour, by the way. Coming up, we're going to talk about market volatility. Have we seen market volatility? Have we seen what's happened over the last, just since the first of the year? Market volatility, it's been going on actually longer than that, whether it goes up or it goes down. How a buckets type strategy could be possibly set up to help you get through volatile times. Now, question would be, how do you manage something that seems to be completely out of your control? Market volatility, you can't dictate what the markets are doing or what the markets are going to do, but you can control your own reaction to it. You can do so by having a plan, not knowing what's coming, but being ready for whatever happens. That's all part of what we do. Bucket strategy could perhaps take advantage of the volatility while at the same time allowing you to spend only your safer money. That's what a bucket strategy is. And that could be one of the keys to making your retirement years more successful. So how does that happen? We're going to tell you all about it. Strategies coming up in just a bit. Our number in the studio, 877-PLANNER. Lines are open right now. Every line is open at the top of the show. So take advantage of the opportunity to call while you can. Any question at all does not have to be on market volatility. It can be whatever's on your mind. You can also send us your emails, wealthed.com, our website. You click on the Find Your Answer link. You'll see that near the top of the page. Send it to us, and we'll answer it right here on the program. Professor Rick Plum, he's our lead brain trust advisor. He's back once again this hour, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, who remind you that your retirement needs are vastly different from anyone else's. Do we have to remind you of that? You know that instinctively. No two situations are ever alike, so it's important that you have a retirement plan that focuses specifically on your goals as an individual. With Lucia Capital Group, you have access to an entire network of brain trust advisors. They're ready to help you out. You can call them directly off the air at the number 800-644-1150. Again, 800-644-1150. You can schedule an appointment, talk to any of the advisors, see where you and your retirement stand. Or stand. You can just ask a money question too, whichever you prefer. Again, 800-644-1150. Off the air. On the air, 877-PLANNER. I think we should talk. It's important to talk about this, Professor Plum, because, you know, even though equities and stocks and all this stuff, when you talk about the stock market and investing your money, it's supposed to be for the long haul. You're not supposed to be doing this for the next 6 months or even 6 years. It's supposed to be longer than that, but people get nervous when we have times like this. What have we seen? Not just in the last couple of months, but I would say the last 6, 7, 8, 10 months.
Well, we've had, and we were hearing about the return to volatility, as if volatility had left us for some period of time, and we were just on a very even keel for a period of time. I don't know what they were looking at, but I watched the market, and it was anything but non-volatile or in the months leading up to the supposed volatility. It's just that the volatility, the differential from expected return, was on the positive side for a while. And we like that, so we think that that's just wonderful. But anytime you have volatility, downside, upside, there is something to look for, something to manage, something to create or protect against. So volatility goes both ways. Most people only look at risk as negative returns, negative volatility. But volatility is both sides, and unfortunately, we don't look at it that way. We don't look at the fact that the market has been up, 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 up. That's just what we expect. And then we get all freaked out when it goes down, like it's unexpected. It is expected. Markets go up and down. They don't do a nice, solid, systematic progression every week,
every month. Yeah, wouldn't it be nice? You have 2 days up, 1 day down. 2 days up, 1 day down, all the way, just the way the pattern seems to be, over three up, one down, whatever it is, over the course of 50 years. It doesn't happen that way.
And we can look back and say, well, the average is that there's two up days for every down day, but that doesn't mean if I just had one down day, that means the next two will be up. No, it doesn't work that way. And I think that's what it's, to be honest, somewhat random from day to day, how we're going to react and how it's going to happen. We know that. We know that there's going to be volatility. We know that the market could be up or down within the next couple of hours before closing, within the next couple of weeks, within the next couple of, who knows where it's going in the short run? And yet we all think that we can control that and we can manage it. There is nothing you can do to change the direction of the market in the next couple of weeks, next couple of years for that matter.
Or tomorrow.
You are in it for the ride. And if you're trying to get in and get out at the wrong times, you don't get in a roller coaster and then at the top of the first hill, get scared and get out. Once you're on that roller coaster, you're in it for the ride and you have to wait till the end to see where you end up.
The end isn't always fun, but okay.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love roller coasters.
Okay, so here's the question. Should you be afraid of volatility?
Well, that's up to you. If you are afraid of volatility, then you have to pick and choose where you save because you're not going to be an investor. If you want to be an investor, you cannot be afraid of volatility. It is going to happen. Volatility is one of the few things that is almost a sure thing in the market. It's not a positive. It's not a negative. It is an event. It's going to be volatile. Now, the question is, what do we do about it? If you know yourself and you know that you cannot stomach the negative volatility, then you can't be in the market. Unfortunately, people don't realize that they're afraid of that type of volatility until they're in it, and then they pull out, and they get out at the wrong time. Now, hopefully, they learn this early on in their saving career, investing career, rather than late. And the worst thing that can happen to a lot of people is positive year after year after year result where it's just up, 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 and up, because then people get used to it, and they get complacent with it. They think that's what the norm is. We saw this in the 90s, where every year was a better year. And so people thought, this is a new paradigm. It was called the new paradigm. And people started just thinking that we were always going to have positive days. And they got more and more money into the market thinking that that was safe. Short time horizon. And short time horizons are 5, 6, 7 years potentially in the stock market. Short time horizons are not safe in the market. So if you've learned your lesson, and hopefully you've learned it early on, if you cannot handle the volatility, then find another way to save. Use safer accounts. Don't go into the volatility. And there are people that just cannot stand to see a negative number on their return. 30 years old, their IRAs, their 401ks, money they can't touch for 30 years. They still can't stand it. Emotionally, they can't stand to see that negative number. Well, then you're just going to have to end up saving more and being a different type of saver and accumulator than using something that is the market, which over long periods of time has made it easier to save and invest, but does come with the cost. It comes with a stomachache from time to time.
Yeah, and you know, the emotional side of this says, why would I keep throwing money into a volatile market when I see it going down? We saw this in 2008. See the market going down. Why would I keep buying into something that just keeps going
down? Well, that's
the
best time to be buying.
Of course it is, but the emotional side of it says, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? I'm walking into a fire pit here.
Well, no, you're not walking into a fire pit.
I get it, but that's what people
think. You're walking
think.
Into a fire sale. You know, it's on sale. Now, will it be on sale more next week? Maybe. Buy again. When it's down is when you accumulate.
Yes.
You don't accumulate stuff at the height of the market, at the very tippy top, at the very best, what looks like the best time to a lot of people. That's the time to be taking profit, not buying in. But unfortunately, we are geared to do it differently. We're geared to not want to get in until it looks like a sure thing. Ha, fat chance. Then we get in and we're geared to get the heck out at the first sign or second sign, worst case, third sign of danger, because now it's already dropped and we're going to sell it. And unfortunately, we buy high and sell low, and it's something that we need to train ourselves to get around.
Okay, so what, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment, how, you know, we use buckets, but how a strategy can help you out with this. So we'll get into that. 877-PLANNER, our number, by the way. I've heard it said that no volatility can actually be risky. How is that possible?
Well, it doesn't give you any advantage to saving. I mean, no volatility. What has no volatility? A CD, you know, a bank account, a money market account. There's no volatility in that. You're going to put your money in, and you're going to earn you're just going to earn the interest, which is fairly low right now. You're going to earn the interest, but there's no other movements. There's no other advantages. There's no other, you know, it's never on sale. You can't accumulate anything more than the ongoing going price, and the going price is always the same. versus the market. And we're talking that you have a time horizon that's appropriate. But the market goes down in value, and the market goes up in value. And if you're buying in when it's down, you're buying it at a cheaper price so that when it does come back, it comes back to where you started from, you still made money. So there are things to do to take advantage of that volatility. We cannot control the volatility, but we can control our reaction to that volatility and maybe even use it to our advantage.
That's right. You see, and this is where I was going to jump off when we come back from the break and get into a discussion on how this works with a strategy. But volatility actually creates opportunity if investors are prepared for it, which of course means that you got a plan. So we'll talk more about this. If you're afraid of where the market's going or you're not sure where we're going to be and nobody knows where we're going to be, give us a call. We'll talk to you about it or anything else that's on your mind. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Lines are open right now. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-752-6637. This is Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Taking your calls, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We do have some lines open right now. So if you are so inclined, you've got a money question, give us a call right now at 877-752-6637. I have a feeling, Professor Plum, that coming up this Saturday at the workshop in Las Vegas, the Retirement Income Strategies Workshop, you're going to get some questions from people on this whole market thing. Where's the market going? You know, what should we be afraid of it? I'm guessing that some people will bring that up.
It might. It's not one of the more popular questions that we get because I think most of the people that come to the seminar are looking for ways to structure an actual strategy. They come to a retirement income strategy workshop to find a strategy to maybe utilize or protect against the volatility that's inevitable. So they don't normally ask us market timing questions.
Well, I don't mean about timing, but I'm saying, you know, we've had volatile times. How does this affect us? In fact, yes, when you talk at these workshops, Las Vegas is just a couple of days away this Saturday. One of the things that you try to reinforce to people is that it doesn't matter what the market is doing on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, right?
Nothing you can do to control that. Nothing you can do to change it. So we have to find a way to live with it and make it still work for what you're trying to accomplish. And how you do that is very different whether you're 25, 35, 45, mm-hmm. or 65, 75, 85.
Everyone's situation is different. We tell you that all the time. So I want to remind you once again, just like less than 48 hours away, Las Vegas, Professor Plum will be there. Terry Keyes, whom you'll hear on the show tomorrow and see on the show tomorrow, they'll be there with the local advisors. If you want to join them, you go to wealtheds.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealtheds.com. Sign up there. It's free. We just want to know how many chairs to put out. Las Vegas this Saturday, February 20th at the Renaissance at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, Seattle happens a week from Saturday, February 27th, and then Phoenix AZ on March 12th. So Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix, the next three. There will be more after that. We will let you know where they're going to be, but if you want to find out on your own, you go to wealtheds.com to sign up, find out where the brain trust could be, and learn all about these retirement income challenges. It's presented by Lucia Capital Group, not just the challenges, but some, perhaps, we hope, some solutions to what's going on. Again, wealtheds.com. So I said this before the break. Volatility creates opportunity if investors are prepared. And I really believe that, Professor Plum, which means that you got to have a strategy.
Well, you have to have a strategy to deal with it. Since you can't control it, you got to find a way to deal with it. For younger people, obviously, dollar cost averaging helps. Doesn't guarantee a return. I know somebody's out there saying, you keep talking about dollar cost averaging, and it's not a guarantee. You're right. There are no guarantees. But given time, it can add to and enhance. Because the one thing that we are fairly confident about with the stock market, or even the bond market for that matter, is volatility. It's always going to be up and down. And if we're using some type of a dollar cost averaging, it will, so far in history, has always happened, it should come back. And when it does, even if it just comes back to even, that dollar cost averaging can enhance the return you would have otherwise had. So when you're younger, moving into the market, buying into it on a systematic basis, always buying high, always buying low, but you buy a lot more low than you buy high, that's a way to help enhance your return and use that volatility to your advantage. on the other side, when you are retired and you are turning yourself into a distribution strategy rather than accumulation, and you're turning it around and pulling money from the portfolio, you have to avoid that volatility. And so you can't expect to be drawing down money from a volatile portfolio and expect it to maintain its, you know, power, or its purchasing power, its value over time, unless you're withdrawing just such a low amount that it just doesn't matter. 4% is not a low amount when it comes to that volatility. Anything higher than 4% obviously is going to exacerbate any problem that that volatility creates. So when you are pulling money out of a portfolio, you are trying to avoid the volatility. When you're putting money into a portfolio and you have a long-term time horizon, you're trying to use that volatility. Again, we can't control the volatility. We don't know when, how much, whatever's going to happen. We just know that it is going to happen.
So how does all this volatility that we've seen affect the so-called 4% rule? You talked about withdrawing 4%. I read again today where somebody said, well, you know, the problem with when the markets are going down with this whole idea of 4% is that, if the market dropped 50%, you're now taking twice as much out of your portfolio as your
as a percentage.
Yeah. Right. And so absolutely that doesn't work.
And we know that an 8% distribution rate does not have a significant longevity availability to it. It's not going to last forever. So how do you avoid it? And this is the problem with any distribution that comes from a portfolio that they rebalance to a specific, you know, allocation each year, each month, each quarter, where you pull money out and then they rebalance. They pull money out and you rebalance. Whether it happens on a monthly basis or a quarterly or annual basis, it's still too often, unless everything is positive. Now, if everything's positive, everything works. It's hard to screw it up if the market just goes up and up and up. So far, we don't see that happen very often and for very long. So we have, anytime you're dealing with a distribution, now you may set it up where you're taking it only from cash for the first 6 months to a year, but then you rebalance it at the end of every year to maintain, because everybody wants to stay in balance. And this is where the 4% rule is getting rocked, and where it fails is because we keep rebalancing it at the wrong times. We keep rebalancing it when the market's down and we have to sell something to refill these and reshuffle the deck. When it's down, we don't like selling when it's down. Selling low is not the way to manage a portfolio. It's what we end up doing a lot of times because we're human, but we're trying to avoid that. So the 4% rule, as John and I have said many times, it's a guideline, it's a starting point, and it has to be monitored. But you need to be able to take money from a non-volatile source when there's negative volatility. So in the most basic concept, you need to have a pool of non-volatile assets and a pool of volatile assets, because the pool of non-volatile assets doesn't earn very much. And unless you're 90 years old, you still want to have some growth in your portfolio in case you make it to 90 and you got to deal with some inflation and some healthcare costs. So you don't want to put 100% of it in this non-volatile pool. You have to have some growth, but you don't want to be drawing down the growth portion of it when there's those inevitable downturns. Safe money? Hey, maybe bucket one?
Doesn't that sound oddly like buckets when we talk about this? Maybe taking some of that money that you've got and then reapportioning it, reallocating it somewhere that's not going to be affected by the market's ups and downs.
And the idea, the debate of this comes into, so how much of my portfolio should I have in the non-volatile, low volatility areas? And that's where the big debate, because some people say 1 year worth of cash. Some people say two. That's a big issue. I've read that on many websites. Have 2 years worth of cash. But there's a lot of times where 2 years is just not enough. I mean, if you started this in 2007 and you had 2 years worth of cash, you lived through 2007, you lived through 2008, but then you needed cash in 2009. And if the only thing you had in 2009 left was your market portfolio, you were still down
30%. You're saying 2 years of cash or just 2 years of safe money?
2 years of safe money.
Non-volatile money, whether it's cash or CDs.
However you want to invest it. 2 years of a drawdown bucket, drawdown pool that is not market related, so that if I need to get $1,000 a month, I can get $1,000 a month without selling something when it's down. So the debate is, how long should the buckets be? We think that it should be more than 2 years.
Yeah, we're going to tell you a little bit more about this. 877-PLANNER is our number. If you've got questions, it can be on buckets, can be on volatility, your portfolio, retirement, Social Security, whatever it is, give us a call. Brain Trust is here to answer those questions for you. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum, coming right back. There's the theme again. Great. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls. 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We do have lines open right now for you, so any money issue that you have, you give us a call, 877-752-6637. We'll get to some emails, too. If you want to email us, our website, wealthed.com, wealthed.com. So, Professor Plum, you started to talk about the idea of carving off a piece. Now, this is really more for people who are either close to retirement or at retirement, right?
Or looking to, close to the need for spending cash. Could be education. Could be something else where you have a little bit of a time horizon between now and when it happens. But as you get closer to that starting date, whether it's the first of 4, 5, 6 years of college expenses or whether it's the beginning of retirement, you have to look at the time horizon. You have to look at the need for the money and how much you're going to have to deal with. If you need to spend the money in the next couple of years, it shouldn't be in the stock market. So the question is, how much time should you, how much leeway, how much advance time should you put and have in low volatility? And then am I really talking about putting, you know, I talked about 4 years not being enough, 2 years not being enough, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Do you really want to put that much money in a money market account earning what, 0.0 nothing? If you're lucky, you get close to 1% on some of these online accounts. No, I'm not talking about putting that much money in cash. There are other assets that you can use for near cash or very low volatility with maybe a slight lack of liquidity for a short period of time. So you have enough money in cash for maybe 2, 3 years, and you put a 3-year fixed account in that pays 1.9%. Walk away at 3 years. You can use it for what you want. Use that for years 4 and 5. And then you have a 5-year account that's paying 2.4%, and so you've got a couple more years in there. So you can ladder within the individual buckets. What the characteristic of all those things were that there was no volatility. You can't lose a dollar because the market went haywire, and the markets do go haywire. So you set enough money outside. Now, if the market goes up and just does 50%, great, because you're going to have some money out there as well, and you can always take profits if you need to. The issue is you want to be able to avoid taking a loss from where you were a year ago, taking a loss from where you were 6 months ago. That's what's happening right now. A lot of portfolios are down from where they were just 6 months ago. Is now a good time to be pulling out of those areas? Not if you don't need the money and it was set up right in the first place. That's why you have the more liquid accounts. 25, 30-year-olds, we don't need 5, 6, 7, 8 years. We want to look. I'm 25, 30.
You were at one point.
Still think I am.
25 years ago.
Thank you.
Just thought I'd tell you.
Oh, these days. You don't need to have as much money in a liquid account because you're not going to need to fund 5, 6, 7, 8 years worth of income. You may need 6 months, a year, if you get laid off or need to find another job, get hurt. So you do need some liquid cash or availability of it. But you don't need as much. 65, 70, you need to be able to structure your portfolios to have more
all
of
right.
a time horizon.
So let's take the example of somebody who's going to be retired. They're thinking about it. They're 55, 60, something like that. They're going to retire maybe when they're 65. And they're trying to say they've had, you know, most, if not all of their money, call it 90%, in some kind of equity growth portfolio. They're going to have to sort of back off on this, they know, to some degree. So you talk about carving off a piece of their portfolio and making it safer, putting it into less or non-volatile areas.
Correct.
But what do you do? I mean, is there a time horizon to do this? Because if somebody said, I need to carve off a chunk and it's March of 2009, are they going to have to start selling a bunch of what they have in their equity portfolio? And
you don't want to do it in a time period like March of 2009.
How do you do it, though?
But if March of 2009, I mean, it depends on how long you have until you want to retire. If you were retiring in 2010, you shouldn't have had. You should have already taken care of the money you're going to need to spend in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So you should have already had some safe money. If you're in 2009 and you're thinking about retiring in 2015, 16,
yeah.
Well, you still have a little bit of time to let the market recover and then start pulling back the aggressiveness. You don't necessarily want to do it when the market's down, unless market being down like it is right now or has been is so close to the time period where you're going to need to retire, you're worried about it collapsing even further. So you want to be 5, 6, 7 years out from the time horizon where you need the money to be, and you start looking for opportunities. 2013 was a great opportunity to pull some aggressiveness back if you needed the money in 2016, 17, 18. 2014 was a great time to be looking at pulling back the money, at least some of it, not all of it, and reallocating your buckets so that you have the ability to do what you want to do no matter what the market does. If you wanted to retire in January of 2016 and you waited until October of 2016 to set up your safe account, you weren't that happy because the market was down in August and September. But it still would have been a better time to do it than now.
877-PLANNER, our number. I have another question on this. I'm going to ask you after the break because I got to get some calls. 877-752-6637. Buckets, volatility, it all goes hand in hand. Let's move along. Up next on the phones, Martin in Las Vegas. Hi, Martin. How can we help you today?
Well, hi, Glenn.
Hi.
I have a question. I was listening to you guys maybe a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you were talking about the income taxes and you were using just a general figure of $100,000 that you didn't have to pay, I guess, income tax on a whole $100,000.
Well, that was for a married couple.
Excuse me?
That was for a married couple.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that for a married couple?
Right, and it's not that you don't have to pay tax on it. It's just that there's a chunk that you pay no tax on, a chunk you pay 10% tax on, and then the rest of it's at 15%.
And how does that work? How do you do that?
Well, it's just a matter of going through and finding out what your taxable income is. Let's say that between you and your wife, you have $100,000 of taxable income or of total income for the household. And you put 10 of it into your 401k. So now you only have $90,000 of gross income. Now, you don't own a house, you don't itemize. So you go to the tax forms, you say, okay, my gross income is $90,000. I get to take either my standard deduction or my personal or my itemized deductions away from that number, reduce it, and that doesn't pay any tax on that, and my personal exemptions. Husband and wife, there's about $8,000. So between the standard deduction and the personal exemptions, I take my gross income that shows up on my tax return and reduce it by $20,000. Now my taxable income is $70,000. Now I'm just using round numbers here. We look at the tax, we look at the tax code now. We look at the tax brackets. The first $18,000 or so of taxable income is at a 10% bracket. Now the next 55, 60, the difference up to 75,000 is taxed at the 15% bracket, but I don't have 75,000 of taxable income. So that means whatever I have over and above the 18 is at the 15% bracket. We just look into where we are on the brackets and we say, okay, what is my taxable income after all deductions and exemptions? In this case, it was 70,000. The first 18 is at 10, the next 58 or 52 is at 15. Figure out the tax, add them up, and that's what I owe.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if they're going to discuss this? Because I register for your seminar coming up this Saturday. Are they going to discuss any of that over there?
We can if you want to bring it up. We are going to talk about taxes. I don't know if we're going to get into the weeds, or so to speak, with the individual brackets and how taxes are calculated. But it is an important part of, you know, your overall investment strategy and how you go about setting up a retirement income for an individual. Do you buy your growth assets in your Roth IRA? Do you buy them in your traditional IRA? Do you buy them in your personal account? Where do you put your bonds? Where do you put the high income, you know, or high growth assets? How do you go about locating assets? We do talk about that for sure. But we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about during the question and answer period.
Okay, that sounds good. And I'm listening to you right now on the radio when you're talking about investments with the stocks. I mean, lately hasn't it been going down more than what it has been going up?
Well, when you want to talk about lately, are we talking about the last 6 months or the last 6 years?
Yeah, The last 6 months, we'll say.
Right. The last 6 months, we are negative, yes. Quite a bit. I will say that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't utilize this type of an investment in your overall investment strategy. You don't sound all that old, so you sound like you still have a lot of years left.
How old are you, Martin?
I'm 60 years old.
Okay. You still have a lot of years left, so should you be all in stocks? Nope. Should you be partially in stocks? Probably, depending upon other issues. But yeah, now is as good a time as any to stay in stocks or to invest in stocks if I have an 8 to 10 to 15 year time horizon.
Okay. Well, what would be the best time? I mean, once you start, I mean, if you got your principal, you start losing your principal, how much of your principal, if you get out of it, what's the percentage of your principal should you lose before you say, close the account or whatever?
I'm not going to say when you've lost 30% to get out, because anytime you're in a position that could lose 30%, you need to have at least 10 years. And we've always, so far in history, we've always recovered. Whether we will in the future, we'll see. But you need time, and that's the worst time to sell.
Yeah, I tell you what, Martin, if you have some more questions, I got to take a break. Please hang on. We can talk to you more on the other side of the break. It's important to understand things like taxes. And yes, they will be talking about anything that you want to talk about at the workshop. So stick around. We will discuss this more. Anybody else has some questions? We got two lines open, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls, Bucket Strategy Investing. Oh, nothing but animals, I tell you what. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We were talking with Martin in Las Vegas before the break. He had to go. He mentioned, though, that there's a workshop coming up. He'll be there. You should be there, too. If you're in Las Vegas, join the Brain Trust and learn all about the stuff that we talk about on this show, but you get it in a whole lot more detail. Oh, did I tell you it's free? Of course it's free. That's coming up this Saturday, Las Vegas, February 20th. It's at 9 o'clock in the morning at the Renaissance Hotel. Anybody in Las Vegas should be there to learn all about the retirement income strategies that we have to offer for you. There are a lot of challenges for retirees, and especially you don't know where the market's going to go. We've had an awful lot of volatility, not just the last couple months, but the last 6, 7, 8, 10 months. So how do you deal with that? Well, retirement income strategies, you'll learn all about it in Las Vegas tomorrow. I'm sorry, Saturday. This Saturday. You'll be leaving tomorrow, Professor Plum. After that, Seattle, Washington, February 27th. Phoenix, Arizona happens on March 12th. I said those are the next three. We will have more after that. If you want to know right where they're going to be and you want to sign up for any of them, you can go to wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Sign up. It's free. What more could you want? Oh, you could meet Professor Plum and Terry Keith. Terry will be here with us on this program tomorrow. All right, 877-PLANNER is our number, PLANNER. I'm glad Martin asked his question here. My question on this, Professor Plum, is kind of a leading question because I know the answer. But it's helpful to know this. We talk about somebody who is 5, 6, 7 years out from retirement. They've got most, if not maybe in some cases all, money in some kind of equity, stocks.
A growth portfolio.
Yeah, some percentage is probably much more weighted toward growth and equities and that kind of thing. They realize that they've got to carve off a portion because they're going to do this buckets type strategy. So they start doing this. They start carving off their value averaging. They're selling, where they can on the upside. So they're starting to build this pool of non-volatile, quote unquote, safe money that they can spend. It's their bucket one. They've still got, because they're still working, they've still got new money coming in.
And the mistake a lot of people make is that they don't do what you just talked about. They say, okay, I've built up a nice long-term growth bucket. Now I need to build up the lower volatility, the safer side of the house. And so they take their contributions and they start building up the cash account. And they leave the majority of the money in the volatile account, the stock account, the growth account. That's the wrong way to do it. What you should do is carve off the good portion or a portion of your volatile portion, put it in safety, but keep funding your 401k contributions. Keep funding your Roth contributions into the more volatile side of the house because you get that advantage from dollar cost averaging that you don't get for putting it into a bank account. And so safen up, and you hate that word, I know, we're going to make safer, we're going to create a safer portion of our account by carving off at the opportune time. When is the opportune time? When you're higher on the value than you expected to be. Unfortunately, we don't like selling something when the market's moving higher because we think we're going to miss out on something. We don't want to, you know, if we were supposed to have, you know, 200,000 in our account and it's 240 because it's gone up a lot more than we expected. We don't take that 40 off the top. We can't sell now. It's going up. You don't ever want to sell when it's going up, right? No, you do. If you need to, that's the best time to sell something. When it's way ahead of where you thought it was going to be, take some of that profit off the side, because usually we're not smart enough and we're way too emotional to take it out when it's up, and we wait until it's already started going back down. It's only, it's temporary, it'll go back up, and by the time we actually get out of it, it's on the way back down, and we give up the last 3, 4, 5 years sometimes worth of returns because we didn't want to sell and miss out on any of the upside. Well, we missed out on some upside, and we actually picked up some downside on that. On the other side, we don't want to, we want to sell. We want to get the heck out of Dodge when the market's going down. You know, Martin had this question, do you sell when it's 30% down? No, you try not selling when it's down. You try to make sure that you have a long enough time horizon with that money that you don't have to sell. Now, I'm not talking about an individual security. That's a different game. I'm talking about an overall portfolio, a market portfolio, diversified portfolio that is moving with the whims of the market, not because the stock is doing good or bad on an individual basis. But when the markets are going down, that's the worst time to sell. And in fact, it's actually a pretty good time to buy. That's why you keep funding the ongoing 401k contributions into the more volatile side of the house. And you look for opportunities to safen up, to take a portion of the portfolio and move it to a lower volatility. Now, whether you go straight from the stock market to cash or whether you take intermediate steps in between, that's up to you and how you've created your strategy and what you're trying to accomplish.
So your new money, just to encapsulate this, your new money should always be directed. Your contribution should be
almost
directed.
Almost always, yeah. I mean, all right, I can't say always.
But let's
always.
Just say, let's say for the most part, in most of the cases, should be your contribution should still go toward your volatile side, your bucket three, your equity side.
Your long-term growth side.
And the way you get money into the safer side is not to contribute to it.
But sell off some of the growth.
And sell it off, take advantage of it where you can, on the upside where you can. And then that's how you build the safer side of it. Because by adding to the safe, by taking contributions and making them, making contributions onto the safer side,
it doesn't get you anywhere. I mean, sure, it helps, but that still leaves a big chunk of your asset, the majority of your assets, at the whim of the market. And you could lose a ton of money that you might need soon. You can't build this account up quick enough. So take from the volatile side when it's appropriate, which may mean it's 5, 6, 7, 8 years ahead of when you, 10 years ahead of when you might need it. The idea is to look for opportunities, either from a sell standpoint or from a buy standpoint. Now, if you safe enough, you know, carve off that piece and put it into a less volatile area, and the market does happen to crash, not because you timed it well, but because, hey, stuff happens. You're not a genius if you sell it when it's up higher and it happens to crash right after that. You didn't pick the top of the market. You got lucky. And so if it happens to crash right after that, you got some money, some opportunity cash that you could actually buy back in. So in Martin's case, when it's down 30%, 40%, I'm looking for cash to buy in because I have to have, as long as I have enough time horizon that I can leave that money sit and recover, I'm looking for opportunities. Opportunities exist when the market is higher than expected. Opportunities exist when the market is lower than expected, but only if you've set yourself up and you actually know where you're expected to be.
And your advisor should be helping you out with this stuff. And if they're not, well, you should talk to somebody like Professor Rick Plum. This is what we do. This is what we do on this program. It's what he does in person. If you need the Brain Trust off the air to talk about this or anything else that we mentioned on the show, call them off the Lucia Capital Group at their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. And you can also ask them any questions you want at the upcoming workshops. Another hour is just ahead. Stick around. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.